Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for brotherly kindness. Thank you for love. Thank you for virtue. Thank you for knowledge. Epigenosis, revelation knowledge, not just information. And we thank you, Lord, as you're growing us up in all aspects into Christ, developing us in integrity. In integrity, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, or if you have your phone, your Bible app or your iPad or whatever it may be. What's the other one? The Galaxy? Does Galaxy have Bible apps as well? Yes. I figured. Yes, Janice. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. So I purpose each day to be sourced by His written and living Word, to understand who I am in Him, to be equipped in His truth, and to connect intentionally with others. Those are all good food groups to grow us. We're going to continue our series this morning on integrity matters. Isn't it awesome how much God loves people? He'll interrupt a whole service just to encourage somebody and speak to their situation. Speak to their situation. How amazing is it, Jesus showing up, the young man that had swallowed all that meth, and Jesus saved his life. Saved his life. You know, you can't stop him because he's spirit. There's people in jail. There's people all over the world. He can just appear to, he can show himself to by the Spirit. So this is our fifth week, allowing the Lord to develop us in integrity, the quality or state of being one, being complete, undivided, or whole. So we are not one way on one day and then some other way or a different person on another time. We're not one way in front of someone's face and a different way behind their back. Amen, somebody. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things," say it with me, "all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of His divine nature." What a blessing. Put that on your fridge this week. You are a participator with the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. For this very reason, with all diligence. You know, he's not saying just haphazardly or que sera, sera. He's saying with all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Remember, you were placed in the Spirit by the hand of God Himself. You could not birth yourself. He birthed you by the Holy Spirit. That's what made you born again. But to walk in and abide in the Spirit, that's your choice. That's your choice, okay? So you choose to walk that out with Him. With all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. This is a different knowledge. The initial knowledge we just read in the other verses is gnosis. It's kind of like information, or if you just read the scripture like you read it like Sports Illustrated. But when he says add to virtue knowledge, this is epigenosis in the Greek, which means above human knowledge. This is revelation knowledge. And so we're adding, isn't it interesting that he'll use the scriptures and that information, if you will, to bring you to him. But once you know him, once he's in you and you're walking with him, now knowledge is added to your faith, revelation knowledge above and beyond human knowledge. Yes. Amen. And then to knowledge, we're going to add self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness. To godliness, we're going to add brotherly kindness. Lord, bring brotherly kindness back to the body of Christ. Let there be a genuineness in our relationships and our care of each other. And then add to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, everybody say abound, then you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's desire is that we're fruitful. So we all have a knowledge of Jesus, but are we abounding in fruit? We have a knowledge of Jesus, but are we bearing fruit, and are we abounding in our knowing of Him? Because God desires more for you than a couple of tickets to heaven. He really has interest in growing you and developing you so that when people see you, they actually see Him. So He wants us abounding in fruit. We talked last week how the flesh and religion will always emphasize works. Galatians chapter 5 says the deeds of the flesh are, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And God is way more interested in the fruit of His Spirit working in your heart than what you're just doing outwardly. You know, I was on staff when I was age 24. I'm 48 now. Can you believe that? Somebody said I was young, right, this morning? So I received that. But I got into full-time ministry when I was 24, and I was the evangelism pastor. I was the outreach pastor. Remember that, Sylvia? And so the Lord began talking to me about, He said, Steve, you know you can witness to people because you love yourself more than them. He said, do you know you can do that? That you can care more about you and me loving you, or you being, quote, righteous because you're witnessing to people, than you can care about that person that I'm asking you to minister to. So what did He do? He explained to me, see, you need to know the completeness of my work. You need to know the thoroughness for which I saved you and made you accepted in the Beloved. Because there's no more points to score. I gave them all to you. So now when you share with other people, when you minister and you try to help them, you do it because you genuinely love them and care what happens to them. There's nothing in it for me. Does that make sense? So God places a premium on the fruit, the byproduct of His Spirit working in our heart more than what we do. He didn't say in 2 Peter, add to your faith church attendance. Why? Because you can go to church and have a wrong heart. You can be at church and your motive not even be right. So taking inventory of our own heart, where do we place the worth of fruit bearing? That's a great question. Where do we place the value of bearing fruit after Jesus' kind? Because the first step in developing an integrity is a desire to develop that way. So I pray that you're asking the Lord, search my heart, Lord, search my heart. I know my deeds look good today, but would you search my heart and see if there's any contrary way in me, if there's any ill motive in what I'm doing. I also pray you're taking practical steps to walk out everything He's speaking to you. That when He speaks to you about integrity or motive or this area of your heart, that you don't just say, yes, you're right about that, Lord, but you begin to engage in obedience. Lord, I want to walk that out in practical steps, what you're asking me to do. And that you're keeping yourself tethered to Him amidst the blizzard we live in. Because we live in a blizzard of information, distraction, and technology in the United States of America. And if you're not tethered and disciplined in staying connected to Christ the vine and being sourced by Him, you're going to be led by impulse, you're going to be led by distraction, or just led by ritual and rote. Okay, and we want to be led of the Lord, not just led by whatever comes up our way. We need to value the process of growing in integrity. And that's what I see in 2 Peter 1. You know, add to your faith virtue and so forth. We want to value the process that we're growing in integrity. We want to be anointed. Amen. But more than being anointed, we want to have integrity. We want to be gifted. But more than we want to be gifted, we want to walk in integrity. We want to do good works. But more than we want to do good works, we want our heart to be right in doing good works that we were made for. Because you can be really gifted, you can be really talented, you can be really anointed and really mess up your home and really mess up your church and really mess up your business. My goodness. You know, and I don't know that I'll get to this today, probably next week, but it just bears saying, integrity, you know, as a parent, if I act enough of a fool And I lack integrity in enough areas over and, you know, over again. And I find myself divorced because of all my big pieces of stupid. Does that affect my parenting? It does. It absolutely does. And so we don't want to lose these precious things because we lacked integrity, in an area. So the gifts of the Spirit are received. They're not earned, okay? They were gifted to you. What your gifting is, what your talent is, so to speak, you didn't earn that, okay? It was gifted to you. So it came to us easy. But character is developed over time. Character requires discipline and devotion and dedication and sanctification. That's about what I thought I'd get on those four things. That character is developed over time, requires discipline, devotion, dedication, and sanctification. Those aren't bad words. Amen? They're not bad words. And again, we're not doing it because God will love us more. God's already, He loves you. Man, if you came today to get Him to love you, you're too late. He already loves you. He loved you before you started trying to get Him to love you. He is love. It's not that God has love and He gives some to people. He is love. See, if all I have is some love, let's say I have love, that I'm not that I am love, but I have some, and I give some to Rebecca, and I give some to Jody, and I give some to Cole, well, now we start getting concerned. Am I going to run out? He may not have enough for me. God doesn't have love. He is it. Yeah. Amen? So He has love for us. And He's passed the test on how much He loves us. Jesus sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, passing the test of how much He loves you. He has passed the test and He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? He has passed the test. But you and I's love for Him, now, that gets tested all the time. And so when I'm devoted, and you know how the Lord has worked me over pretty good this summer as far as reshaping some of my values and priorities. But I'm all my devotion that's turning over in my heart for Him, it doesn't affect His love for me. It affects my love for Him. It affects my love for Him. And church, that's where I'm at. That's what I want. I want to grow in my love for Him and be faithful to display that on a regular basis. Amen. I don't want to be a Christian in name only. So devotion and dedication and sanctification and discipline are good things. All right, let's go to integrity matters because, number one, who you're becoming is more important than what you do. I shared this with a pastor on Friday because I was having lunch. He almost fell out of his chair. He said, now you're preaching. This is a need in the body of Christ right here. Who you're becoming is more important than what you do, church. Your motive is more important than your mission. Ooh. Come on, Holy Ghost. My goodness. Look at Judges 13:12. This is Manoah, Samson's dad, talking to the angel who was telling he and his wife that they were going to have a son. And he said to the angel, when your words come true and we have a son, what is to be his manner of life? And then secondly, well, what is his mission? The New King James says, what will be his rule of life? In other words, what values will govern his heart? Because that's more important than what he does. What will be his rule of life? And then secondly, what will be his work? See, often we measure success by what we do and how much money we make. Americans have learned to value themselves based on what we do and what we achieve, right? We used to get the trophy in school for achieving. Now everybody gets one. Instead of majoring on and placing a premium on what's the condition of our heart as we live life, what are the values that we govern ourselves with? What are the values we govern our family with, our home with? We'll put a premium on great faith, great sacrifice, great prophecy, 1 Corinthians 13. But Paul says, if we have not love, we're annoying. That it profits us nothing. So it's a great question to assess, where do I place as a value, the love of God and purity of motive in everything that I'm doing. 2 Peter 1, which we read. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. John 15, when Jesus talks about abiding, that we might bear much fruit. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous or rude, it doesn't brag. How about it never demands its own way? Okay? All those scriptures have nothing to do with your anointing, nothing to do with your gifting, nothing to do with your calling. They have everything to do with the condition of your heart. And are you bearing fruit, not deeds, are you bearing fruit after the Spirit's work on the inside? My goodness. None of them have to do with your position or your title. The most important thing you can impart to your kids, you tell them, listen, I am more concerned about the person you become than what you do or how much money you make. I want to applaud you as a person. Whether you ever make a bunch of money, as long as you're growing up in Christ, the condition of your heart and the person you're becoming is more to me than what you do. Our kids need to hear it, guys. Number two, integrity matters because it gives value to your words. St. Francis said, so many people have heard the gospel, but so few have ever seen it. So few have ever seen it. Boy, this is important. Our attitude and our actions, how we live, gives value to the message we carry. Can I get a witness? The message is so important. The message of the gospel that lives in your heart is so crucial. All of humanity needs to hear it. Amen? I mean, look at us. When we found Jesus and Jesus found us, we were excited. We were set free. I mean, this is the message the world needs to hear, but they need to see it too. We can't just say it. We can't just say it. We need to have proper attitude, proper actions. You ever seen the guy with the bullhorn down in Bricktown screaming at everybody? He can quote scripture all day long from that corner, but the posture of his heart towards those other people is nothing but condemnation and guilt and shame. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Okay, how about Romans 1:16? This is just the preeminence of the message that we carry. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at this. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now look at Romans 10:14-17, Good News Translation. How can they call upon Jesus for help if they've not believed? And how can they believe if they've not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message isn't proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers aren't sent out? For as the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those, the messengers, who bring good news. But not all have accepted the good news. Isaiah himself said, Lord, who believed our message? So then, look at this, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message comes through preaching Christ. Now I would add to that, demonstrating Christ. Jesus did preach the message, and he did explain it. He proclaimed it. He explained it, but he lived it. He didn't just tell everybody that God so loved the world. He was the message, God so loved the world. So I would add to that, we want to demonstrate the good news, demonstrate the heart and the love of Jesus Christ. Again, integrity means we're one person at all times. So we're not just talking righteousness, we're walking it. We're not just talking love that God loves humanity, we're walking it. You know, I had a lady ask me in between services about how do you deal with people that are, you know, saying that their sin is okay. Well, there's a balance in this, because if all you do is tell them the truth by God, and you know there's people out there, bullhorn people, truth, 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 and there's no love. It's not love if you don't speak truth to people who are deceived. Now, you've got to be led, amen, and make sure that the condition of your heart towards that person is really for them. That you're not all up in arms because they're doing something that violates your conscience. Or your Bible. Your big one, the big family one. So there's a balance. We want to speak the truth in love. You know, there was a gentleman that was at Grace Church many years ago, and he had a brother that had come out of the closet about being gay, being homosexual, and he came and said, you know, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed, you know, I just can't believe this, and what should I say to him? I said, nothing. Don't say anything to him until your heart is for him. And that you're aware of the suicide rate, the drug addiction rate, the alcoholism rate, the promiscuity rate in the homosexual lifestyle. When you're aware of all that's coming after him to kill him, then you can talk to him. That's the assignment. And it's flesh. It's the same flesh that would lead you and I to do a big piece of stupid in opposite sex attraction. There are people who struggle with same-sex attraction. But we need to have a heart for them and the Lord's heart for them. Look at Matthew 5. This is fantastic. Matthew 5:14 in the Message. Jesus says, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Oh, yes, Lord. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city set on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Jesus didn't light you to hide you. He didn't light you to hide you. But it's not just the message. Guys, it's the posture of your heart. It's your attitude, your demeanor, your actions. I'm putting you on a light stand, Jesus said. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Everybody say shine. Come on, say it one more time. Shine. Look at this. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, our generous Father in heaven. Oh, Father, open our hearts, open our lives. Father God, open us. Crack us open. Ooh, that just reminded me. My prayer time the other day, I didn't even tell Stacy this yet, but he opened my chest cavity, took out a few dark pieces and put some other good stuff back in there. Lord, open us that as we are open before the world, Lord, as we open up to others, it'll prompt people to be open with you. My goodness. So many have heard the gospel, so few have seen it. Can I get a witness that if the glory of the old covenant was so great, Moses had to veil his face, there ought to be a glory on our face. There ought to be a joy about us. There ought to be a peace about us. And when we do good and we do kind from a good heart, it allows people who don't know God, who've never found God, to have an encounter with the God that's looking for them. They may not even be looking for him, but he's looking for them. And so as we're open-hearted, so we open ourselves up. And guys, this isn't going to happen by default. It's not going to happen because you came to church and we had some prophetic words. And man, that was great. And Brother Steve shared and that was awesome. And the worship was amazing. And discipline, dedication, be devout in your heart towards the Lord. Spend time with him every day. I have to do it every day. Remember, honey, those talks we used to have before Jesus blew into her closet February 23rd, she would tell you the days that she skipped any Bible time or time with the Lord or Joyce Meyer were such a struggle. Every day we got to be abiding with him. We got to be starting with him. We got to be full of him. I want to live full, don't you? So it's not going to happen by osmosis. Not going to happen by osmosis. But I love that passage there in the Message Bible. As parents, as God's ambassadors, as his representatives, we have to lead with our lives, not just our words. We want to lead with our lives, not just our words. How many of you guys have people that drive you crazy? Yeah, they're on God's payroll. I hope you know that. Why do I say that? I say that because your Father has a vested interest in you learning to be internally sourced by him for joy and not externally moved by everybody else. He absolutely wants you living from within towards your circumstances, not vice versa. So that's why I like to say that those people are on God's payroll. But here's the answer. I want you to be the person you want them to become in front of them. You can yell at them, you can complain, you can gripe and go home and tell your spouse how awful they are, or you can be the person towards them and in front of them that you'd like for them to become. Amen. Because of this right here. It is not our goal to match insult for insult with our culture. And there's a lot of insulting going on. And if you don't know it's demonic, you need to plug into what's actually happening. And yeah, he uses people and he uses media outlets and all that stuff. There's a spirit behind all that stuff trying to tear down this nation and take away Judeo-Christian values that it was founded on. It is an outright assignment. Don't get caught up in all that. Recognize who your real enemies are. We will never achieve a kingdom end through unkingdom methods. We will never turn America righteous again through unrighteous means. Come on, somebody. Amen. Go ahead, give God praise. Amen. It is not our goal to match insult for insult with our culture, but to live out before the world the power of Christ's indwelling spirit. To put Him on display for all to see. Woo! Even over your doctrine. Well, my doctrine, buddy, where I'm coming from, I believe that's wrong. Okay, before you put your doctrine on display, put Him on display. Because let me give you a little secret. Lost people cannot change and cannot quit sinning until they have Him. So you can tell them all day long, quit sinning. But until they have Him introduced to the spirit of their heart, they cannot change. They don't have the power to change. Amen. They need Him. So put Him on display. I love this. Live out before the world every day the power of Christ's indwelling spirit. You go to lunch today, they may forget your food. They may not bring it to you. They may bring it cold. But I want you to put Christ on display. Let them see there's something different that sources you for joy other than food. Whether your food is on time or not. Christ is my source. Amen. Man, we could just stop right there. Let's put Christ on display. The power of His indwelling spirit for all the world to see. My goodness. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1. New American Standard. A good name is better than good ointment. What are we talking about? We're talking about that how we live gives credibility to what we say. The posture of our heart gives value to the message that we're presenting. A good name, a good reputation is better than precious ointment. And the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. You know what he's talking about there? If you live an upright life, if you're known all around your family, your workplace, your school, wherever it is, if you're known as a good person, if you're known as a reputable person, man, that guy, that girl, she's so kind-hearted. You know, she reminds me of Jesus. There'll be more people at your funeral than there will be at your birth. That's what he's saying. They will turn out to pay respects to someone who has a good name. Look at this one. Proverbs 22 verse 1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Hello, America. Hello, America. Choose to be held in high esteem because it's better than silver or gold. Who you are as a person is way more than money. Way more precious than silver or gold. That's a stout verse. Choose a good reputation over great riches. And being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. But Brother Steve, you don't understand, I'm not perfect. I'm not either. So if you mess up, fess up. Is honesty a character trait of God? It absolutely is. And the quicker you're honest, you're right back on course now, participating with the divine nature. It's repenting. You're a model if you do it right. Amen. You're still a model if you do it wrong. Humble yourself. Own up to it. Amen. Honesty is a character trait of the Lord. It's a good quality to have. Look at Matthew 7, verse 6. Jesus said this. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. That would be the message. And then turn and tear you to pieces. I'll never forget the Lord was dealing with me about personal things. Things in my personal life that weren't pleasing to Him. They didn't reflect Him. Vices that I had. Things, struggles that I had. And he's dealing with me about them. And he said, Steve, if you show up on TV as one of those bad preachers, fallen preachers or whatever, he said, I'll always love you. And I'll walk you through it. I will. I'll walk you through your healing. He said, but people are not that way. And he said that the enemy could never discredit my message. It's the truth. But every day he tries to discredit my messengers. So will you please let me clean up your personal life? I said, yes. And I am not perfect. I have not arrived yet, but at least I got the sign on. Who knows what it says? Under construction. I haven't arrived, but I have left. And the posture of my heart is, Lord, I never want to do anything that would embarrass you ever. Ever. And that's what I mean. People just aren't that way. You can lose credibility with people. Listen to this. The credibility of leadership is integrity, not gifting. This stout, isn't it? This is a good word. This is the heart of the Lord. The credibility of leadership is integrity. The trust of leadership is integrity. Listen to this one. The legitimacy of following someone in Christ is integrity, not gifting, not talent. None of those things. It's hard to influence others for Christ if they don't trust you, if there's no credibility there. And again, I want to say it. We're not living upright, righteous, and holy and set apart lives so God will love us more or so now we'll be holy. We already are loved and we already are holy. That's why we want to do this. But he won't make me choose him every day. I want to speak to the young people. I had this morning in first service, every young person from the age of 18 to 28, I had them step out in the aisle because I saw this and the Lord just brought it back to my spirit that there's two doors in front of you. This culture bombards our young people with alternative, what I would call alternative truths, alternative pathways. But listen, on the one door, and the Lord was simply saying, choose. But I'm telling you on the front end, you're being invited to go through this door, and there's nothing but self-defeat and frustration behind it. He said, but behind the other door is who you really are and who I've called you to be. And there's fruit and there's love and there's goodness there. But I'm telling you, every day we're making a choice. He won't choose for you. But, you know, my heart is turned. I don't know what to tell you. People come and tell me, well, you're different. Well, I probably am different. But I just want to walk this out. And I've been a grace guy for how long? How long? I was given a word on May the 2nd of 1995. By a woman who'd never even met me. She was from New Zealand. And she called me out prophetically out of this room of ministers and pastors. I was the outreach pastor at that time. I was not a lead pastor. But she said, Psalm 25:14 is going to describe what Jesus is going to do with you. And I was 24 years old. And it says, the sweet, satisfying companion, she used it in the Amplified Bible, the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord belongs to those who fear him and revere him. And he'll show them his covenant and reveal its deep inner meaning. Well, that's clearly been a huge portion of his assignment and his work in me, is explaining the new covenant and grace, and that he loves you because of who he is, not because of what you do. But I'm telling you, this summer, he has called us to himself. He has said, will you love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength? And it's good. It's good. We could do a whole nother series on why, when a human being chooses the way of Christ and the way of love, that we're heightened. Because we're made for him. We're made by him and for him. But I won't get into all that. I'm writing a book on it, and I'll give that to you. Hypocrite is such a buzzword in our culture. Listen, you're not a hypocrite if you make a mistake. Listen to me. You're not a hypocrite if you slip up. You're a hypocrite if all you want to do is point out everybody else's mistakes and never looking at yours. Okay? Jesus said it's okay to help your brother who's got a speck in his eye. You can help him. He needs help. Just make sure you're looking through the lens of the log that's in your own. In other words, have understanding, have compassion for those that you're trying to help. Don't come in self-righteousness. A hypocrite is not when your heart is to do well and you make a mistake. A hypocrite's a faker. Their heart's not in it. So you don't let people call you a hypocrite because you stumble or you make a mistake. And if and when you do, just be honest. Amen? If you mess up, fess up. Will you stand with me this morning? Gabe, you guys can come. You know, as the Lord dealt with me about my own life, and I told you I haven't arrived. This summer he's called us, you know, a few times to put away childish things. I want to mature. I want to develop an integrity and identity in Christ and truth and put away childish things. And so I just want us to close our eyes here and just kind of be in His presence. Lord, is there anything that I'm involved with right now that's not pleasing to You? Is there anything in my personal life, private life, that's not pleasing to You that I could lay down for You today? Oh my goodness, feel the Holy Spirit. Will you ask Him that question? Just, Lord, is there anything I'm involved in right now that I can lay down for You? Because I want my heart to be right. I want my actions and my attitude to be right. If that's you, and I know it takes courage, I'm not going to ask you to come down or step out, but would you at least raise your hand with mine this morning if there are things that you can offer to Jesus? Amen. Amen. Just leave your hand raised. Father, I thank You by the power of the Holy Spirit that we take this thing You've shown us, and we lay it down. Here it is. And Lord, I don't want it named among us. I don't want it coming back to try to enforce its will. So I thank You for the power of the grace of God to shatter any vices, any flesh patterns. Maybe it's even rooted in the wrong ways we view ourselves. Lord, if we're looking for something in this behavior or this person that we can only get from You, would You forgive us? Lord, shift our thinking right now. I'm not going to try and get that from them. I'm going to get it from You. Woo! My goodness. All our esteem, all our value, all our love and our acceptance, Lord, from You. And Holy Spirit, we just give You permission. Cleanse us. Just wash us clean. Mind and heart, body. More, Lord, more. Thank You. Just receive of Him. Just let Him minister to you.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.